Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Now it's time for a Friday gathering. This week I'm joined by Fianna Fáil TD for Clare, Cathal Crowe, Social Democrats TD for Dublin Rathdown, Sinead Gibney, political correspondent with the Irish Independent, Gabby Agata-Fitzgaita, Chief Executive of the ESRI, Professor Alan Barrett, and you're all welcome to the studio and thank you for being here with us today. We're going to start with housing. I was discussing with the Taoiseach Simon Harris when he was in earlier that the government repeatedly promised in the run-up to the election that they would exceed the housing target of 33,000 homes, only then to miss it significantly. And when I put that to Simon Harris, he, I think it's fair to say, blamed the Department of Housing for sending them the wrong figures. He said that was done in good faith. So, Cathal Crowe, he's effectively accusing your colleague, the then Housing Minister, Dara O'Brien, of doing him wrong.
Yes, well, first of all, thanks for having us on. I didn't get to hear the Taoiseach's remarks earlier, but I doubt very much he threw him under the bus. They do have a good collegial relationship.
He did say the letter came in good faith, but the letter did come from the Department of Housing, and that's why they made the promise.
So, look, in defence of Dara O'Brien, I think Housing for All has been successful. What we're honing in on here is that the CSO figures that were recently released don't equate to what figures were circulating in November. Some in opposition have been saying this was deliberate misleading. Absolutely not. There are several independent bodies.
The figures,
you said
the CSO figures didn't tally with what was circulating in November, but actually the CSO had given a very good indication, certainly in December, that those targets weren't going to be met. But your government at the time continued to insist that they would be close to 33,000. And that is why people are saying you misled us, or this was an attempt to mislead people.
I think the two party leaders in government have been very unequivocal about this all week. There was no misleading, and people are rather contrite because, look, above all, no matter what these figures are, we want housing to be delivered. We want people to have keys in their hand moving into homes. The fact is, in that last quarter of last year, there were three data sets circulating, Ernst & Young being one, Deutsche Bank being another, and Cairns as well. All three indicating that it was going to be in around the 40,000 homes. Mm-hmm. I mean, last year was a good year. There was 60,000 commencements. It's the completion figure we're talking about here. All of the indicators are, as we're into the start of 2025, this is going to be a good year. And this, the previous government, of which I was a backbencher, exceeded overall what we set out to deliver.
Okay, but this is very important because it was during an election campaign. And Alan Barrett, do you believe it was plausible for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to say as late as November that we were going to exceed the 2024 target?
No, it was highly implausible. I mean, the thing about the housing numbers, there are some bits of data that were given from the CSO on an annual basis. Okay, so you're kind of waiting for 12 months for the update. But on the housing completions, we get these on a quarterly basis. Okay, so we knew in October or maybe early November how many houses had been completed in the first 9 months of the year. Mm-hmm. Okay, so everybody knew at that stage, you know, what the sort of the rate was. And I think the figure, say, for the first 9 months was coming out in the early 20s or something like that. All right. So what we knew is that in order to be getting over the 33,000, there would have had to have been a remarkable acceleration in house building. Now, Cathal, you know, with due respect, has quoted a number of people who sort of seem to indicate that we were going to exceed the target. But I, for one, remember giving a presentation to a group of people in November and talking about ESRI estimates where that we were not going to exceed.
What was your estimate at that time? Can you remember?
At that stage, we were talking about the likelihood of equaling the 23 figure, which would have been the 33,000. Okay, so there was certainly
We got to just over 30,000.
No, that's exactly it. But this was well known. I mean, like lots of people.
So they ignored you.
Well, I'm not saying they ignored, but it's certainly the case of, you know, obviously there's a little sort of ecosystem of economists and statisticians and people who talk about this. Everybody had the figures in November about what the first 9 months of the year looked like. Mm-hmm. And everybody's expectation was that the chances of exceeding 33,000 was incredibly limited.
So were you hearing that during the election campaign and sort of banging your head against the window?
Can I say this, though? I'd like to go back and hear again precisely what was said. And I'm wondering, was the language, like, just how much was it sort of guaranteed? Mm-hmm. And it is certainly the case that the attention started moving on to the commencements, because, again, the commencements were very, very high. But it's also the case that everybody knew the commencements were high because there was a legal change coming in whereby there was an incentive for builders to essentially commence, but there was no expectation that they were going to complete.
Sinead, you're nodding there when Alan's saying, I'd like to hear the language again. You're clear that commitments were given that we would exceed the targets, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it was across the board. It was all Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael spokespeople were talking about these housing figures at 40k right up through to November. I think it's important to keep in mind that the government and those spokespeople had more granular detail available to them than anyone else. And the reality is that if they truly believed that 40k was achievable last year, they would have had to have known that 10,000 houses were virtually ready for completion. And I think I was nodding in relation to the commencement piece because that's exactly the case. There was a deadline essentially for developers to declare for those commencements, which would mean that they would avail of the levies. And the Taoiseach rather mentioned this earlier in his interview around the figures for 2026. So they're an inflationary figure, essentially, those commencement figures, which again, the government would have known about. So from our perspective, this is cynical electioneering. It is blatant misinformation on the part of the government during an election cycle.
But he said he got the information from the Department of Housing and it was supplied to him, he says, in good faith.
But everybody knew that there was three, and they've continued to now rabbit on about these three reports this week from Deutsche Bank, from Cairn Homes and so on. Although, interestingly, the Taoiseach himself could barely remember the other two reports beyond Deutsche Bank, which kind of shows the obscurity of them compared to the CSO, the Central Bank and the ESRI, which are at every other turn the government's go-to figures. So it seems to me that they're being completely selective about which reports they chose to listen to. The data was there for them. They knew this. They clearly misled the public.
Yeah, I think it's interesting on the delivery figure, because it's the final figure really that matters the most to your average taxpayer and your average voter. I mean, it's all great hearing about commencements and we've commenced this and we've commenced that, but that doesn't really mean anything until you actually have a house that's finished that you can sell and that a first-time buyer or whoever it is, you know, downsizer, your punter can actually buy. And just to be, I think, get to the crux of this. So Simon Harris is saying, yes, I got this letter from the Department of Housing. You know, he's seeing there to be pointing the finger of blame at Fianna Fáil. But it was his decision as the leader of Fine Gael to go out and to push that figure out there. There was other figures, but obviously when you're in a general election, you don't want to say, oh, well, you know, the Department of Housing has told me it's 40,000, but I don't really believe them. I'm going to, you know, reference these lower figures. You're going to be looking at the higher figures as, you know, you're seen to be delivering and changing the corner on housing, which is what the government said they had achieved in its term.
Mm-hmm. If you go back to those to Alan's point, like, what were they saying? Simon Harris said in November in an interview that now we know that we're getting to 40k, how do we plan to get to 60k? Mm-hmm. That is electioneering. That is misleading the public on where they can get to and where they want to get
to. I don't accept that, Sinead. And from the very beginning of this week, your party have sought to over-politicise this. Look, there isn't a deliberate misleading. There's data sets. I have it all here. And even just to refer back to Alan, the ESRI in previous years underestimated this figure. So there's conflicting figures.
So Alan's gotten it wrong in the past, so you couldn't trust him.
No, what I'm saying is in 23 and 24, there were underestimated figures. There was a data set available in November, and I've already quoted Ernst & Young, Deutsche Bank and Cairn Homes, which were all positioning this at 40,000. That is what was out there. It was not
Alan, was
misleading.
It ever? Hang on a second, because Alan has examined the figures here, right? And came up with his own figure, which was closer than the government's figure. Was it ever possible, given what you were seeing, to reach 40,000 in 2024?
It was, well, certainly, I mean, at the start of 2024, it might have been. But by the time we're talking about that window in the latter part, given that we knew after 9 months that we had only completed about whatever it was in the early 20s, the acceleration that would have been required to get into the late 30s would have been so enormous and so unprecedented that it was just highly implausible. And even at the time, I mean, the Deutsche Bank report has been mentioned a few times. I mean, there was a wide discussion at the time that they had miscalculated based on the expectation that the commencements would translate into completions. Because if you look at the data over time, time. The commencements are normally a really good indicator of where completions are going to be. But we have that breakdown in the relationship this year precisely because it wasn't a sort of a normal year. The commencements were accelerated. So it was all highly implausible. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the most delicate way I can put it.
Highly implausible. And the impression given to the electoral call was that you had turned a corner on housing. And we've seen now that that wasn't the case. And you have the head of the ESRI sitting beside you saying you couldn't have gotten to that figure.
But no, look, housing is improving day by day in this country. And housing supply went up by 256% in the past government. And there's more plans again. The plan now is to have 50,000 per annum.
Do you get how serious it is to misrepresent that completion figure for 2024? Do you think it's a serious mistake?
There was a mistake. Was there misleading, intentional misleading, which the opposition is trying to claim? Absolutely not. And that has been put to bed during the week. What really matters here is there's key things have to happen this year. Just before the Dáil rose last November for the general election, we were passing legislation like the planning bill, many elements of it opposed by Social Democrats and Sinn Féin. These are the vehicles we need to pass to get through to ensure that our housing figure climbs up to 50,000.
So you're saying that Sinead beside you doesn't want you to succeed on this?
To climb up to 50,000 and up to 60,000 beyond 2030. That's where we need to get to meet
Sinead, where do you stand on that charge, that it's not in your interest for them to succeed on housing?
Everybody wants the housing crisis to be dealt with. And, I mean, Fine Gael started talking about, this is a housing emergency 10, 12 years ago at this stage, and nothing they have done has addressed the gravity of this crisis. I mean, Cathal here is talking about the politicisation of it, but misleading the public during an election, that is politicisation. We are not going to let this go. And it is not okay to just say, well, we were listening to this report rather than that report. During an election, to inflate the success of a policy so that you're going to gain votes to continue with that policy is hugely problematic for me on a democratic basis. So we have to hear more from the government on how
they... No, that is absolute spin.
It's spin that we're getting. We always get spin. But that level of spin during an election to mislead the public, when the Housing Commission itself has told the government that we need a radical reset on policy and they refuse to do it. So we, of course, want the housing crisis to
maybe back some
but
of the
we
legislation
do not believe
we're going to be bringing
the consistent pursuit of market-led solutions and an over-reliance...
Fianna Fáil sought that ministry in 2020 and we have it again going forward. We're a party in government working with others who deliver on housing. Again, 256% increase in housing. More houses built in the last 4 years than in the previous four decades. So, look, an awful lot has happened here. We need Sinead and others from across the floor. It's a national crisis. We need you working together. So when legislation, when initiatives come up, like Help to Buy, First Home Scheme, when all of these come up, Land Development Agency, back us, put in positive amendments, don't be trying to shoot down legislation.
So the 256 amendments put in by my colleague Cian O'Callaghan, none of them were positive, none of them were useful to you. These were evidence-based solutions that work in other jurisdictions.
We want you to work with, we see members in opposition in their constituencies objecting to housing schemes, taking it to Dublin and all that, doing everything to stifle it, just to pander to a local vote base. What we want is in National Parliament, parties from across the floor working with us to deliver on housing. It needs a national response of all parliamentarians.
It's not working.
And we don't get that always.
I think the big part of the conversation that's missing here is actually about capacity and whether the sector actually has the capacity to deliver these incredible figures that we're hearing both from the opposition and from the government side. I mean, obviously what the Programme for Government now promises is 300,000 houses by the end of the decade. We're hearing promises of 50,000 houses from some of the opposition parties per year. But I think when you see the government not reaching their targets, it probably speaks to the fact that the capacity in the sector is just simply not there.
You agree with that, Alan?
Yeah, I think it's a huge challenge. I mean, the ESRI did a report, came out about around this time last year when we were looking at general infrastructural needs in the economy. And of course, it's not just housing that we need. Every time you need houses, you need the associated schools, water treatment plants, so on and so forth. We're an economy that's at full employment at the moment. It's terribly difficult. One sort of source of labour is typically inward migration. But of course, when you have a housing crisis, it's very difficult to get the bodies in. So I think there were figures that I was looking at again around this time last year that would suggest that if you want to build like an extra sort of, I think it's 20,000 houses, you need something like, I don't know, 20,000 workers or whatever like that. So if you think about it, every time you sort of say, well, we're going to ramp up, and you, if you take 60,000, we're at 30,000 at the moment, in order to double the number of houses they built, the labour requirement is absolutely enormous. There's also then those sort of capacity issues of like the planning system. I mean, even when it is working well, it can only absorb sort of so much. So there are great challenges and difficulties. And again, I don't know if we'll come to it or not, but some of the lessons of the storm are about like the need for further infrastructural alterations, which require further person resources. Yeah. So it is tremendously difficult.
We are going to talk about that, but before we do, the Davy report this week that said we needed 93,000 homes up to 2031. Do you agree with that figure? Can you get to that figure?
Yeah, the figure is plausible. I mean, I'll just take 10 seconds to sort of say, I mean, there's two dimensions to the housing difficulty. Okay, so one is at this point in time, we don't have enough houses. Okay, and estimates there of, say, about 20,000 to 25,000 or, 250,000. So say you were going to try and eliminate that over 10 years. You're talking about maybe 20,000 houses a year. But of course, you can't just freeze it at a point in time. Mm-hmm. The population is growing. The population in that bracket of people who want to sort of form houses, that's growing. So there's plausible estimates then that you'd need, to meet the growing dimension, 30,000 to 40,000. So if you take the current deficit,
plus what's coming down the track.
So figures in the range of anything from 50, 60, 70,000. These are all perfectly plausible estimates. And of course, again, inward migration is one of the big determinants here, and it's hard to know that. So these are all very plausible. So I think that the estimates of the need make perfect sense. But actually delivering it is enormously difficult. Mm-hmm. And again, if I can just add one tiny point. About a year ago, some of us were feeling slightly more optimistic here, okay, for the following reason. A lot of construction workers are not building houses. They were building office blocks and hotels, okay? So about a year ago, we were thinking, well, maybe the market will sort this because maybe office blocks are going out of fashion.
Yes.
With people. Now,
but
of
now
course,
people are going back into the office.
That's the extraordinary
office,
thing. Yeah. When we saw about the Department of Finance, the Department of Social Protection, and a lot of private companies now saying we want people back in, then the question is, will that sort of capacity be released? So it's a tremendously difficult, and I've great sympathy with Carl and his colleagues in government. This is not a simple problem.
Certainly isn't. Now, let's talk about Storm Éowyn. Carl, you've come up from Clare today, haven't you? Have you got many people down there still without power?
It's nearly all fixed. We would have had some rural townlands, Cluna, which wouldn't be too far from Ennis-Simon, place like that, that would have been at the latter end of the fix. Look, the effort there has been immense, but equally the pains felt by people in those communities has also been immense.
And what did you think of Paddy Hayes, the CEO of ESB, saying the customers ultimately would have to pay the cost for the repairs?
I don't think that's realistic in any shape or form. I've actually been looking during the week at how other utility providers in other countries, Scotland being an example, how they're structured. They have responsibility to the state to update and uphold the national infrastructure. Look, what happened, it wasn't a storm, and I think we need to change the dialogue on that. The gusts that came in across towns like Carna and West Galway were Hurricane Force 3. We need to talk about in that context. There needs to be national investment, and at our Fianna Fáil Parliamentary Party meeting on Wednesday night, our focus in that meeting was how do we further support families and businesses who've been without electricity, those in the horticulture centre, those who had electricity for multiple days without school closures, things like that. That's what we're honing in on. But I think another thing we're going to have to look at in a county like mine, this wasn't just trees falling down off a hedgerow and trapping a power line. There's acres upon acres of forest plantations that are now going to be clean felled. And I think we've got to pave the way for that. The Forestry Act of 2004 allows for that. But we're going to have to divest a lot of our focus here on actually clearing these and ensuring that we've corridors where power lines can operate without intrusion of trees.
That is one of the medium term things that has to happen as a result. But Gabby, what Paddy Hayes said during the week, we heard Jerry Buttermer saying that it was inappropriate. Simon Harris seemed to agree with Jerry Buttermer today when he was on the programme. I'm not sure if the government can or will tell the ESB that they can't charge customers for the cost of the repairs. Where do you see that one going?
Yeah, so it certainly seems to be incomprehensible as to why people would have to pay, for example, even those standing charges if you didn't have electricity. like, if you're sitting in the house for 2 weeks with no electricity, why should you have to pay this charge? It doesn't seem to make any sense.
Or the PSO levy, which the government has
control over. And this is something the government, I mean, in fairness, does have control over. So I do think this one is going to rumble on. And even when you heard earlier in the programme, Simon Harris talking about this really widespread review, asking local authorities this list of questions, you know, what measures you took, what could be improved and so on. Like I think that's helpful, but to an extent. And I think it's when you have this crisis point and this flash in the pan with something such as, for example, the trolley crisis every winter or a very serious storm, that you expose those serious issues that Ireland, even though it is a very wealthy country with a lot of money at its disposal, because of certain political decisions that have been made in the past couple of decades, those cracks are exposed over and over again. So what we saw with Storm Owen was that, as Cahill's pointing out there, there's a lot of forestry and there's electricity lines everywhere. And the next thing you know, whatever, I think there was issues also raised about the kinds of trees that are being planted. They're too soft. They cannot survive the wind. They're knocked down. And the next thing you know, 250,000 people are without power. I mean, that is just not acceptable. Mm-hmm. Also, when you hear stories about people who have no water. So, I mean, like in a country such as Ireland, it just seems unbelievable that this is the position for days on end. I think in fairness, there is a recognition throughout government of two things. First of all, that Storm Owen is not a once-off event. I know we're using words such as hurricane, but speaking to ministers, they're kind of saying, look, because of climate change, we're likely to see something like this happen very shortly. Again, maybe in a couple of years, maybe in a couple of months. And the second thing is that there needs to be a serious look back, and this phrase of lessons learned, people are sick of hearing it whenever things go wrong. But certainly the government does want to have a look back and see what is it that we can fix. But I think a lot of those problems are much more rooted in our infrastructure issues that we have throughout our health and housing systems as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm sensitive to people who are still without power, but there is maybe a talking point here around one-off housing, Alan, isn't there? You know, a lot of people who are still out of power are at the end of a line.
Yeah, and again, obviously want to be sympathetic to people. But I think as we look ahead, I think in the last number of years, and on the issue of climate, the focus of the debate has normally been about how are we going to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions. OK, so it's all been about mitigation. And we've, you know, lots of discussions and policy initiatives about solar panels and EVs and retrofit and all these sort of things. But the reality is that, I mean, climate change, I think, is so far advanced now that we really need to be talking more about adaptation. OK, what are we going to do to deal with the fact that this is a new reality? And I think people are already sort of, you know, learning the lessons. But one of the lessons is clearly is that if you have a cluster of houses and the, you know, the electricity supply is knocked off, you can get the electricity back for 20, 30, 50 houses through one fleet or one crew working on it. When people are in very, very isolated communities, it's our situation, it's just much more difficult.
Yeah, there are others who would say there's another lesson here as well, and it is, thank God I didn't have a heat pump and I still have my open fire.
Of course, but I mean, these are all the sort of things that we have to think about in the round. But can I just, to turn to the immediate, I mean, again, I have sympathy with the government, and when something enormous like this happens and you just don't have the crews to go, you know, and everything can happen as quickly as possible. But on the issue where people seem to be without funding and we're kind of left high and dry in spite of fact that they had to go to hotels and buy meals out and everything like that. Our social welfare system showed in COVID that it could actually react very, very quickly. And so you don't need like lots and lots of people to do this. You just needed systems in place. And there were kind of those heartbreaking stories on the news over the week where people were essentially left financially high and dry. And the idea that you couldn't have emergency payments to people
There was emergency payments, yeah, but I don't know. Was it difficult to get them? Yeah, because you had to fill in forms, go to your community welfare officer and so on.
If I can clear, there was three strands of payment. The first one covered people in that immediate emergency situation, accommodation, no food, maybe the clothing was damaged. So in that scenario, it wasn't means tested. And already in the first few days following the storm, 975,000 was paid out. So this was The response was rapid.
Not rapid enough. And I think I think even you would agree with that.
More has to be done. And I think that was very much
Sinead,
our focus.
You wanted to come in there. We haven't heard from you on this.
Well, just to say that, I think that we've had the admission now from the government, both Hilda Gardner-Nocton saying that the hubs were too late. And then this morning on your show, the Taoiseach really kind of pointing to other failures in terms of communication and so on. But the underlying problem there is that there is no plan. I mean, there are contingency plans, emergency plans in place, but there was none for storms. And that has to be addressed. And the idea that anybody would be bearing the costs, particularly those who have now and are still without electricity, is that they would be bearing the costs for network improvements is absolutely apparent. And the ESB has the profits to deal with it and must be charged with doing so.
Can I just, this issue of should the ESB charge the customers or whatever like that, this is a state-owned company. Okay, so the cost, whether it goes on the customers, you know, right across the country, or it goes in the town, I think this is just a completely false discussion.
Well, the Taoiseach earlier said he found it insensitive. I mean, you said that you thought he backed Jerry Buttermer, but he used the word insensitive. He did not say that he doesn't see it going on to the customer. So I do believe ultimately, you know, the likeliest outcome is that we will see a rise.
But the taxpayers
there's lots of ways in protecting our tax base. We could introduce a wealth tax. We also have surpluses from the government that could deal with this.
But it's still the taxpayer.
And that's what the government...
You'd bring a lot more people to higher income net. Look, one thing clear that has all of us politically been asked during the week, can we underground this network? I think that idea will probably, unfortunately, have to be knocked fairly soon because we're being told the cost that could be 15 times to underground it than it is to overground.
Someone said 100 billion,
during the year.
It's colossal.
And in the past week, even though people criticise DSB and all over the past week, 900 kilometres of cable was laid, new cable, which is twice the length of Ireland itself. So the effort was massive.
We know the crews have worked really hard, and everyone has acknowledged that.
A wealth tax from Social Democrats isn't the way to work ourselves out of the storm.
We've got to leave it there. Thank you all very much.
Thanks.
Got to take a break before the end. Let's do that.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.